On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. I'm so glad you joined us here today. Here on KKNW AM 1150, you might be listening on Transformation Talk Radio around the world, on one of the 90 syndicated stations, and perhaps after the fact on ChristineUpchurch.com. But whenever and wherever you're listening from today, you're going to be really glad you joined us. You know, I think we've been at the show for maybe 5 years, and we have never talked about this subject. But before I get into that, we've got a couple of bits of business, including saying hello to the magic man behind the scenes, Mr. Benny Mathers. Hey, Benny.
And for my next trick, ladies and gentlemen, no tricks today. It's all good. Yeah. I expected you to be in a costume, actually. I won't see you next week.
Yeah, I know. And I figured I could wear the witch's hat, but then I wouldn't be able to wear my headphones. So I wouldn't be able to hear the conversation.
That's why we need to alter that hat to make it so you can wear that.
There we go.
That's what engineers do. You know, we make it work for you.
Yes, and I appreciate that. You make so much work.
What you could do is just send us a picture of it.
That's true.
Saying you're still in the spirit.
And that way I would embarrass my kids as well.
They can never be embarrassed.
Oh, yes.
Oh, wait.
Oh, yes. Yes. I've got a teenager.
My boys have
that.
No idea what they're getting up for when they get older for me.
Yeah. And I'm really excited about our guest today. But before I talk to her and we get into this interesting conversation, I wanted to remember to tell everybody that tomorrow is the day. Registration opens for the Vibration of Change 4-week webinar that begins in January. Start your year off right. If you have been on your conscious journey for a long time, if you're listening to this show, I believe you have. If you are a transformation seeker and you've learned to manifest a lot in your life, but, you know, in some way or another, you're still stuck, there's another way of looking at change. When instead of looking at all these different approaches to change, which can be overwhelming, instead of looking at the trees, you're actually looking at the forest. You're getting that bird's eye view of how all positive change occurs. And it will also offer you a way of looking at your personality, your relationship with change. And the combination of the two will empower you to create positive change in a new way. So if you're interested in learning more, go to ChristineUpchurch.com on my events page, and registration opens tomorrow. Okay, so the topic today is color. And I know we're on radio talking about color, but there's a lot to be said about color. And our guest today is Beverly Ash Gilbert. She's a multimedia artist, an author, a teacher, and a consultant whose work with color engages artists and art enthusiasts of all levels. Her artwork has been featured in numerous publications. She teaches at Kirkland Art Center in Washington State and is an artist in residence for elementary schools. Boy, I would have loved to have been a kid in one of her classes. Boy, oh boy. She has students from around the world attending her creative retreats on Whidbey Island for an immersion of color, freeform expression, and gourmet food. And she's currently working on, get this, her fifth book. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Beverly Ash Gilbert. Hi, Beverly.
Hi, Christine. It's fabulous to be here. Thank you.
It's so nice to have you here. And we have you in studio. Yay! Yeah. Which doesn't happen very often because so many of our guests are either, you know, elsewhere in this country or abroad. So it's so great to have you here. And, you know, I'm familiar with you. I have to tell people the way I found my way to you. I was going through physical therapy, and I was told to get up on the treadmill or the elliptical or whatever it was to warm up. And there I am, you know, feeling kind of lousy and doing it anyway. And then I'm looking at this beautiful, beautiful painting. And I was just like, I have to find out who this is. I have to find out who this is. And it was you. And that's how I found my way to you. And eventually, not only have I purchased some of your art, but I have utilized your expertise for my website. And so I truly appreciate the gifts that you share.
It's been a pleasure to work with you.
You know, I would love to understand more about what it is about color. You know, I think in terms of, okay, I'm at the store. I find the perfect throw pillow. It's the right texture. It's the right sheen. It feels good. It looks good. I love the color. I bring it home, and oh, it's not quite right, and it doesn't bring me joy. Or I'm going to get dressed one day, and I put on one of my favorite outfits, you know, my favorite scarf, my favorite colors, and yet there's something about it that day that doesn't feel right, and I have to change into a different color. What is it about a relationship with color?
Well, interestingly, I think color is very, very personal, and I think what brings you joy on a particular day may be very different than what brings you joy on another day, or maybe very different colors than what you've collected in your home. So, for instance, you may pull in a color that you love at the store, and you may love all colors. But when you bring it home, you realize that your home decor is in completely different color palette. I believe there are ways to tie it all together. That's what I absolutely love working with students. And in my books, I also talk about drawing some of the colors together that don't immediately look like they might work.
Right.
But the most important thing is that if it brings you joy, at least at some point of time, it's a keeper.
It's if color can bring you joy, well, you know, what is it about color that can inspire emotion within us?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with childhood memories. You may love the blue and white Delftware that your grandparents used, or a plaid blanket that just makes you remind you of cozy winter evenings. And I think those colors can play a big role in our emotional context of color. I think also the colors that look good on us make us feel good. When we look in the mirror and we're wearing those colors, they make us feel good, and so we have an emotional draw to them.
Right.
Actually, fads can play a role too.
That makes sense.
When the stores are covered with a particular color, you see it in a new light, and you see how those colors might be pulled together with other colors. And there's a lot of different factors, but I think that color is very personal. So the colors that you love may be very different from the colors that somebody sitting next to you loves.
Right.
And that's the beauty of it. That's fabulous. There are no bad colors. They're all wonderful.
That's interesting. So, okay, so I often will think about certain colors relating to certain emotions. So you're saying that that's personalized. Because I think of gray as, you know, unless there's some other color with it, I think of gray as being kind of dreary, you know?
That's really interesting that you say that, because I kind of have the same emotion with gray. However, I was working with a woman, and I was asking her about some of brighter colors. And she said, no, I stick with the gray colors because they're more elegant. And I thought,
sophisticated,
wow.
Yes.
So elegant to her were gray undertones.
Right.
And elegant to somebody else may be vivid, bright colors. But again, they're very personal. So the gray tones might look really good on her. She may have wonderful memories of them. In fact, I have a very good girlfriend in Holland who really, really loves, I call them heathered tones.
Sure, yeah.
So the blue or the teal may just be very gray, just a hint of color in it. And it goes beautifully with this eggplant that has just a hint of gray undertone to it.
Oh, I actually love those colors
right.
as well.
And the color palette that she pulls together might be labeled as gray, but it's stunning. It's gorgeous. It may be different from what the colors I've pulled together or the colors that look good on me.
Sure. Now, you talked about color palette, and I know you've got a wonderful book out called Eye for Color. You've got templates. They're interchangeable, and I did not, like, you know, the information about color wheels that I knew was, like, from elementary school. And
right.
I'm sure you're teaching it differently than the way I learned it. But, you know, it was basically the pure colors, and that was it. So what are the variations you have in your book?
Sure, the pure saturated colors.
Yes.
And obviously, those are the colors in elementary school that are used most regularly, and they're the crayon colors, they're the marker colors, and so it makes good sense to have the blue and the yellow and red and the secondary and tertiary colors that
sure.
can be mixed from them. But I found that when I was teaching about color and we were talking about fiber art where the dyes are not necessarily vibrant, they may be earthier
right,
undertones,
right.
or we may be pulling together colors in a home and we want that gray undertone or we want
sure.
that warm, browned, earthy undertone. I found that it was much more helpful to the students if I had a number of color wheels with different undertones. So I have a saturated color wheel,
uh-huh.
a pastel color wheel.
Uh-huh.
I also have dark and lights in warm earth tones and dark and lights in cool earth tones.
So what's warm?
So warm earth tones, just look outside at autumn right now.
Okay.
And there are the deep oranges that maybe tend towards coppers.
Uh-huh.
The yellows, the reds, even the plum colors are, they're more in the browns, I think.
That makes sense, yeah.
Cool undertones, I think of a foggy day.
Okay.
Where the light is gray, it's cooler, and all of the colors tend to have more of a blue-gray undertone.
Okay, yeah.
So again, all very, very lovely, but different.
Right, right. So I'm going to be curious to hear about how it is we should look for those colors that bring us joy and how to coordinate color, because that's a tricky one for many of us. More with Beverly Ash Gilbert here in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
Sad eyes. Don't be discouraged, though I realize it's hard to take courage.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit thetruthisfunny.com.
What is a brilliant culture? And how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you design a culture that is authentic, innovative, and successful. Learn how to create change with Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence, and Claudette Rowley. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit ClaudetteRowley.com.
The goal for the Art of Powerful Living Radio is to inspire every human to live lives that are rich, fulfilling, on purpose, and fun. This hit show with Robert Schoenfeld is a fresh approach to boldly living our lives with creativity, courage, patience, wisdom, love, and power. Join Robert every month with Dr. Pat Basile for the Art of Powerful Living Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Call me up, because I will always be there. And I see your true color shining through. I see your true colors. That's why.
Welcome back to the Christine Epchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. Love that, Benny. Good choice.
That was great.
I think for like wedding season
we were
this
dancing.
Last summer. Yeah, I know. It's like the most popular wedding song right now. For
really?
Slow dancing. Yes.
So, okay. So they're talking about the your
celebrate
true colors.
Your colors.
Yes.
So they're saying, I mean, that's metaphorical. Why would we take color and then associate that with, you know, the nuance and the depth of a human being?
We're hardwired to look for color. We know that a fruit is ripe when it's a certain color.
Uh-huh.
And we're tied into the emotions that we draw from color.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's not conscious. Sometimes it is very subtle. And I think a lot of people walk through life and don't necessarily acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
They may not realize why it is that when they look out their window and it's a gorgeous sunny day, that what they're really loving is the bright highlights and the deep shadows.
Oh.
And how the colors are popping.
So shadows are important too in our appreciation of color?
Oh, absolutely. There's a positive and negative space. Our eyes would get very tired of looking at a solid color.
Uh-huh.
We want relief. We want areas of rest. It makes the highlighted areas stand out.
That makes sense.
And it draws our eyes. So, for instance, in a painting or even in a home decor, if your eye is encouraged to move from one area to another,
uh-huh,
it's more exciting. Our eyes want change. Our eyes want to be stimulated. And those shadows provide that rest area so that the highlighted areas draw our attention.
That makes sense. And also encourages the movement of our vision.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I imagine that having evolved from hunters and gatherers, that movement, the subtlety of color was really important to our survival.
Absolutely. I was this morning just looking at a bowl of cherry tomatoes, uh-huh, that I had pulled in from the garden before it got too cold.
Right.
And they started all green, but of course, being a fruit, they ripen off the vine.
Uh-huh.
That's how you know that tomatoes are a fruit.
There you go.
So yeah, they ripen off the vine. And I looked at this bowl, and there were colors in there from dark green,
uh-huh,
to a chartreusey green, uh-huh, to a yellow, to an orange, to red. There are all these different colors, uh-huh, in this bowl of cherry tomatoes.
Right.
And of course, we're hardwired to know that when a tomato is red, it's ripe, it's good to eat. When it's green, it's not good to eat.
Right.
And a blackberry, when it's green or red, is not ripe.
Uh-huh.
But when it's black, it is.
Right.
So as hunters and gatherers, as you mentioned, we know when to look for food that, yeah, is good to eat.
That makes perfect sense. Okay, so, you know, we know that color is important for a variety of reasons. How do we go about choosing color, say, for our home or for our clothing?
That's a hard one because as somebody who loves all colors, it can become overwhelming.
Uh-huh.
And it's hard to necessarily zero in on one. I think the most important thing is to find a color that when you look at it, it feels good.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry so much about whether it's the color of the year or whether it's in fad or whether somebody else told you it's a good color or a bad color.
Uh-huh.
Just look at that color and see what joy it brings you.
Right.
And then once you've chosen a particular color, there are all sorts of ways that you can draw other colors together with that. And actually, that's one of the reasons I wrote this Eye for Color book is it has templates in there that are the the common color combinations that our eyes find pleasing.
Right. And you've got actual color wheels that snap on and off so you can actually look
at it.
Isolates.
Yes. There's templates that isolate color combinations. So, for instance, if you chose purple and orange, those are two parts of a triad.
Okay.
And by spinning the wheel to the purple and orange, you'll see that green is a lovely complementary color to the purple and orange.
Okay.
And in our eyes actually crave all color.
Really?
So if we see a lot of blue, our eyes actually crave the opposite, which is orange.
Uh-huh.
Vincent van Gogh was fabulous with this. He would actually put blue and orange together. Even when you looked at a distance, the dress may look blue. When you look up close, you see that there's a lot of orange in it.
Interesting.
So he kind of gave you what your eye already wanted, which is part of his mastery of color. But our eyes really want all of the colors.
Right.
So to have equidistant colors on the color wheel are pleasing to us.
Some sort of balance.
Yes, it balances. If we see too much black, we actually want white.
Okay, speaking of black, this is a big one. A lot of people love to wear black, head to toe black, maybe with some sort of accessorizing of a little bit of silver, maybe a colorful scarf, but there's a lot of black out there to being worn by both men and women.
What's that about? It's safe.
Oh, safe.
We have, I think, developed, because I don't think we always were like this, but I think we've developed a fear of being noticed, of putting ourselves out there, of being different. I had a student from India in one of my classes, and she said, oh, it's so fabulous to see all this color. She said, in India, we wear all colors. Uh-huh. There are colors everywhere.
Right.
And she said, here, it's all black and navy.
Yes, yes.
And I think it is a little bit of a fear factor. I think also, as much as I love Pantone, and I love the idea of a color of the year, I think it's meant more as an inspiration rather than a hard and fast rule.
Right.
But what's happened is because the colors change from year to year, the colors that you see in the stores and in paint chips, they change from year to year.
Sure.
We're afraid to wear a color that was maybe popular a couple years ago.
Yeah. Oh, I remember years ago when I was searching for brown pants because my brown pants had worn out.
Right.
I couldn't find brown anywhere.
But you can't find brown.
2 years later, there was brown everywhere, and then it's out of fashion again.
And I say nothing. There is no color that's out of fashion.
Okay.
I say wear what feels good to you. Mm-hmm. And for me, orange is one of my favorite colors.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And so when orange was in style, I bought every orange piece of clothing that fit me because I knew that if I waited for a couple of years,
sure,
it would be gone.
Right.
But I still wear, well, I'm wearing it right now, aren't I?
Yes, yes, yes. So, okay, so we start with some color that gives us joy. How about combining them? You know, when we're putting together an outfit, should we be going to the color wheel?
It's one of the tools.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother used to quilt a lot, and she used to pull colors together that we'd all kind of tilt our head a little and say, I wonder if that's going to work. And yet the finished product was gorgeous.
Interesting.
So she didn't consult anything. It was just intuitive. It were just colors that made her feel happy, and she threw them together.
Right.
And
right.
It worked. My aunt, who I consider to be a master colorist, sticks with a certain undertone. So she may use all different colors of the color wheel, but they are all kind of in the cool undertones.
Right.
So they all really work well together. My mother has a completely different color palette. Even though they're sisters, they have a little bit different color palette, but they all work together because they're colors that have always drawn her in.
Right.
So from a combination standpoint, I think the question comes if you're not satisfied. Forget about what somebody else says. You can pull plaid and polka dots together if that makes you happy. But if it doesn't feel right to you, there are some tools that can help you draw those colors together. And yes, a color wheel definitely helps. Uh-huh. It helps give you ideas on pops of color. Again, back to the purple and orange. Uh-huh. A pop of color might be a green. The other thing that you can do is look at some of these color wheels. The saturated colors all tend to go nicely together because they all have a lot in common.
In common, as opposed—
in common, because they're all very, very saturated. So think of pastel. Think of sorbet colors.
Uh-huh.
How pretty they all look in the ice cream section.
Right.
It's because they all have a lot of white in them. There's a lot in common.
Okay.
So they can all kind of be pulled together. Now, if you wanted a very pastel yellow with a very deep, dark purple, that may be dramatic, and you may love it. But if you feel that they're too far apart, you could always grab a pastel purple. So the purples, the saturated and the pastel, look good together.
Uh-huh.
And then the pastel purple and the pastel yellow, because they have a lot of white, look good together. And it draws the whole color palette together.
That makes sense. It's funny because, you know, when I think about this, about pulling colors together that we love, I find that decorating my space, it's the cool undertones.
Mm-hmm.
And it tends to be sort of the triad sort of thing. But when I get dressed, it's like the bright, pure colors that I tend to be drawn to.
Because looking at you, you have a lot of, I would say, wintry colors. I love the old Color Me Beautiful books.
Uh-huh, right.
But you have a very clear, like, pink undertones.
Uh-huh.
So the pure jewel tones look really lovely with you. And your blue eyes, uh-huh. They really look lovely. I, on the other hand, have kind of a yellow undertone to my skin.
Uh-huh.
So I need the warmer undertones.
Right,
so the blue that I might wear might be a little bit more teal,
mm-hmm.
a little bit more green
sure.
than the blue that makes you happy.
Right. And I think in terms of my environment, I mm-hmm. want it to be more like nature on a foggy day
sure.
because that brings a certain
sure.
level of calmness to me.
Sure.
Yeah.
I really, truly love all color palettes. And I think that we don't always have to work within the same color palettes. Though sometimes we're afraid to branch out. Sometimes we use the same colors.
Uh-huh.
Artists do this a lot. We use the same colors over and over.
Right.
Because they're comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And we're a little bit afraid to push out of our zone. But I think experimenting and playing with color actually increases the enjoyment of using it.
Oh, that makes sense. And when we come back, I'm going to want you to chat a little bit about, you know, how we can get creative in our lives, not just in terms of how we decorate and how we dress, but the kinds of arts and projects we do to bring us joy. More with Beverly Ash Gilbert here in just a few moments.
Back through the years, I go wandering once again. Back to the seasons of my youth. I recall a box of rags that someone gave us, and how my mama put the rags to use. There were rags of many colors.
Isn't it time to put your health first? To give yourself the gift of whole body wellness? What if embracing unconditional love and self-care was the first step to wellness? Could you honor that for yourself? My name is Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio and the author of Rewired Life, A Journey to Untangle Chronic Pain and Endometriosis. In my book, I share how I healed from 17 years of chronic pain and disease. Get your signed copy at audreymichelle.com/book, spelled MICHEL.com/book.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com.
Are you traveling most of your day? Do you want to take Transformation Talk Radio with you anywhere you go? Well, guess what? There's an app for that. Just go to the App Store on your Apple device or the Google Play Store on your Android and search Transformation Talk Radio. Catch all of our live shows no matter where you are. Thanks for listening.
Rags of many colors, but every piece was small, and I didn't have a coat, and it was way down in the fall. Mama sewed the rags together, so in every piece with love, she made my coat of many colors that I was so proud of.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. Benny, you're just a genius when it comes to pulling the right songs together at the right time.
My coat of many colors.
Right?
Yes. I am talking to Beverly Ash Gilbert. She is an artist, a teacher, and she is a color expert. And she's got 5 books out, including one of my favorites. It's one of my go-to, you know, like relating to decorating as well as, you know, pulling outfits together. It's Eye for Color, Interchangeable Templates and Color Wheel System. Okay, so I know, Beverly, that you teach lots of classes from... from painting to photography to something called Nuno Felt. Can you please share what the heck is Nuno Felt?
Nuno, N-U-N-O.
Uh-huh.
So it's a fiber art. A lot of people know what felting is.
Uh-huh.
Felting has been around for millennia.
So what is that?
So felting is where it's the process by which natural fibers... with agitation and water, maybe some soap or some oils, will migrate and form a mat. They form a completely different material from the original wool fibers.
Oh, interesting.
And so, say, dreadlocks in hair, uh-huh. That's actually felt. You're taking the natural fibers of hair, and with agitation and water and soap or oil, uh-huh. Those fibers are migrating and interlocking and form a completely different material, which is felt. During Nuno Felting, so Nuno Felting is relatively new.
Uh-huh.
A woman in Japan and a woman in Australia. I'm going to massacre her names. Chico Katara and Pauline Sterling.
Uh-huh.
Developed a new technique for felting because they wanted a lighter weight felt for summer.
Uh-huh.
And so they combined wool fiber with a cloth, a woven cloth, typically of a natural fiber such as cotton or silk. And in the felting process, the wool fibers work their way through the weave of the silk.
Uh-huh.
And during the final stages, it's called fulling, the fibers will shrink, they'll lock together and shrink. But the silk doesn't shrink, it just puckers. So it gives this really lovely texture.
Uh-huh. So you're wearing of your Nuno Felt creations.
Yes. So a jacket.
Yes, and it's absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you.
How do you put something like that together?
So I lay out the wool roving, mm-hmm. and I lay out silk on top of that, and then it's a wet felting process. Now, to create something three-dimensional like this or like this purse, you have to use a resist. So a resist meaning a substance that that you put in between the layers, and the felt won't work through, so it leaves a hole where that resist is.
Okay.
And that's how you can create a three-dimensional object. So this jacket, for instance, is all created in one felting process. There's no seams or sewing.
And so you teach classes in this.
I do.
How long does it take for somebody to put together, you know, a scarf or a jacket?
So I teach a scarf class, and people finish a scarf in a day.
Oh, my goodness.
Sure. Yeah. And if you already know the technique and have already figured out the colors, which of course is always the longest period of time for me because I can never make up my mind.
And it's not just about one color, a scarf of one color.
Sure, it's all different colors. You can typically do a small scarf in maybe 4 or 5 hours and complete it. As soon as it's dry, you can wear it.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. So, you know, I'm fascinated by color, and I know that it goes beyond just like making my environment comfortable or making me feel good when I walk out the door or looking out the window and sort of seeing the variety of colors in the autumn leaves and feeling good about that. How do we utilize our relationship with color in a way that can enhance our psychological and spiritual process?
I think so many of us walk through life and just in a cursory way notice color. We might enjoy the autumn leaves. We might appreciate a piece of art, but we rarely slow down and really look closely. Mm-hmm. And so, for instance, a tree, it looks green, mm-hmm. but when you look really closely, you start seeing darks and light greens. You start seeing highlights and shadows. You start seeing green that tends to yellow, green that tends to blue, green that is a little bit more brown, like with a little bit of orange in it.
Sure.
All in the same tree. And it's because of all that, those differences, that our eye moves around that tree and enjoys the tree, enjoys looking at the tree. If it were all just a two-dimensional painting of a solid green, mm-hmm. we would just walk right by it. Mm-hmm. But as we slow down and really start observing, we start enjoying it more, and we actually start seeking it more. It's a cycle.
Uh-huh.
And I think photography actually is one of the best tools to really slow down and look at color. And I tend to be a purist with some of my old cameras with, where I actually have one eye closed and I'm looking through the viewfinder. Uh-huh. And so it isolates just what's in my view.
Oh,
but even with a phone, even if you're just taking pictures of things around you, you're starting to slow down and observe more. And I think that it connects us mm-hmm. with our environment. It can inspire us with the shadows, the shapes, the colors that we start seeing. And as we process that picture, we seek out more like it or to better the picture.
Sure. It just reminds me of one of my Facebook friends who apparently when she gets hungry at night but isn't eating, she likes to photograph meals she's prepared and dishes. And they're always absolutely beautiful. She's clearly, you know, a gourmet chef. But I tell
and
you, yes, exactly. But when I look at these photos, it inspires me to think about food differently. Like, what kinds of combinations can I put together? How can I sort of shift the colors of my food and the tastes, to enhance my life?
So that is the brilliance of staging. And some people do it naturally. Like, so, your friend may do it naturally. Uh-huh. She may pull things together because they just look right together.
Uh-huh.
My mother is a natural stager. I never really realized it until later in life, but her decor in the center of the table was absolutely beautiful, and it draws you in because she's able to pull the colors maybe of just some of the flowers or the leaves that she used with the placemats that she chose. We are naturally wired for color. And even people who are colorblind, the shadows and the lights, the shades of gray, the values, we're drawn to because of that movement.
So, you know, as somebody who has worked in energy healing for a decade and a half, two decades, however long, I've kind of forgotten at this point, I know that really the name of the game for life, for living vibrantly, for being healthy is a movement of energy. And you, when you keep talking about color and what we're drawn to, you talk about movement.
It is. It's movement because it's and it's connection, right?
Right.
When we're looking at the details, we have to become connected to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of the process of observing.
Uh-huh.
And I think when we can slow down, even if it's just for 5 minutes while you're walking from your car to your office,
mm-hmm.
and you slow down and you look at the landscaping,
uh-huh.
or you look at even just the mosaic of tiles and the colors, it connects you with the moment.
Uh-huh.
And right. instead of just rushing through it and not observing,
uh-huh.
and getting to the end of the journey,
mm-hmm.
it's more about really connecting and enjoying the process.
Right, right.
The journey itself.
Yeah, I love this, using color for mindfulness.
Right.
What a beautiful concept. We have to go to another quick break, but stay tuned for more.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Hi, this is Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio. Sometimes you hear encouraging messages like transform your life now, become empowered, create the life you crave, and it all seems overwhelming and you're not sure where to start. I'm here to tell you that self-improvement is not always fun and easy, but it is always worth it. The path to creating positive changes begins with releasing the things that have been holding you back. Then you can create a life that inspires you. I know this because I've done it. You can find out more about what I do by visiting my website, seattlehealinghypnosis.com. I look forward to supporting you on your journey.
She dreams in colors of places far away.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW. And, of course, Transformation Talk Radio. Boy, this hour is flying by. My guest, Beverly Ash Gilbert. Now, Beverly, before we continue this conversation any further, please tell people how they can connect with you on social media, your website. And I tell you, people, you have to check out Beverly's both website and Pinterest. It's just astounding, the beautiful things she creates. And then talk about upcoming events.
Okay, so my website is BeverlyAshGilbert.com.
Okay.
And I also have a Facebook page, Eye for Color, mm-hmm. Beverly Ash Gilbert. Yes, Pinterest as well. If you Google Beverly Ash Gilbert, you'll get me.
Right. So spell your name just so people get
so
it.
So it's BEVERLY, just like Beverly Hills. And then Ash, A-S-H, Gilbert, G-I-L-B-E-R-T.
And I just love your art. I mean, it's funny because I need more walls in order to fit more of her paintings because, you know, it's like you'll post something on Facebook. It's like, oh, I love it. Where can I put that?
So again, it's all about color, right? Uh-huh, and playing with color. And years ago, I was going through a tough time and aging and feeling not quite as attractive as I used to be. And somebody said, Beverly, look in the mirror every day and say, I have a beautiful essence. And so I have every day now for about 3 or 4 years.
And
I have
it on my phone. And you are a beautiful woman still, too.
I have it on my phone, though. It beeps. And at 8 o'clock in the morning, I say, I have a beautiful essence. And so a lot of my paintings, it's actually more about the essence than the subject. I love it when people come up with their own interpretations.
Right. You know, it's funny because I think of how we women are basically programmed genetically to procreate, right? And once we have children and once we get them to a certain stage, we still have this need to create. And I know that many men do as well. How do we actually take that inner yearning and apply it within, you know, our everyday realm?
Oh, I think those that have jumped beyond the fear of creating, because we all are creative.
All right.
We're all creative. We all have the ability to create. But those that go beyond their fear and actually just pick up and start creating, whether it is taking classes, reading books, whether it is simply getting out a pencil and writing because you've always wanted to write, or throwing paint on a canvas in any haphazard way just because you love playing with color, getting beyond that fear, I think it enriches our lives. I think the process of creating gives meaning. Because, yes, we want to create. All people want to create. They want to make their mark and get enjoyment out of a finished project.
Right.
So many places where you're working behind a desk, you don't really have that finished project. You know, you're just part of the process. And so to be able to create a piece and say, hey, I made that, it brings so much joy.
I also think that in these days, with computer graphics and access to imagery that we can purchase very inexpensively, you know, for use, you know, on projects,
we get intimidated.
I think it's
I wasn't thinking of uh-huh. intimidation. I was thinking more along the lines of we have the ability to create within the context of projects for work that we didn't used to. I mean, I remember getting fancy with the color of paper or the style of paper on the front of the report, you know, cover. It's kind of like that was as exciting as it got.
Right.
But it's a whole different world now,
right.
isn't it?
Right. And you can just immerse yourself in playing with that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But as far as creating, I think a lot of people want to and they put it on their back burner.
Uh-huh.
And they don't necessarily take the time. And I have found that even 15 minutes a day and a tiny little spot can create amazing results.
Wow.
So whether it is just run by and make a little mark or write a little sentence
uh-huh.
or compose a little music or whatever that creation is right. that brings you joy, just making time for it, even just in little segments.
Mm-hmm. I think about how many of us, in elementary school in particular, were taught to color inside the lines and to make something look realistic within the context of art. How do we need to change the way we educate our children and grandchildren?
So I think that, well, definitely there is a lot of societal boundaries that we put on ourselves. I mean, you think about kids and they throw all different things on. They want to wear that fancy hat, a little tutu with the rain boots. And,
yeah.
and as we get older, we start becoming so fearful of other people's reactions.
Uh-huh.
And we lose sight of the joy that we used to get from wearing whatever we wanted to wear, drawing a horizon line that goes from diagonal to diagonal.
Uh-huh.
And we're so afraid of what other people say. And I think that allowing ourselves to create in the context of this is just for me
mm-hmm.
is a huge step forward.
Right. So what's next for you? You've got a new book coming out, right?
I do. My fifth book is actually about Nuno Felting.
Okay.
And we're zeroing in on probably a January release.
Exciting.
And yeah, I'll let you know on my website.
Uh-huh.
I also have a couple of shows coming up, one in Port Townsend. My paintings will be displayed at the Owl Sprit in Port Townsend.
In Washington State.
In Washington State, yes. And also in Gig Harbor at the Morso Wine Bar
uh-huh.
In February.
And can people buy some of your items online?
Sure, yes. Yes, I have all of my paintings and Nuno Felt and books as well as prints on my Etsy site as well as my website.
Mm-hmm. And I know that people have come from all over the world to study with you. Are you going to be able to reach more people in the world in the near future?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I've already done my New Year's resolution.
And what's that?
And that is to create some e-courses. I have had people, especially in Australia, ask for me to, you know, if I was ever coming out there to teach. And, uh-huh. and though I'd love to go to Australia,
uh-huh.
I decided that I can reach a broader audience by doing some e-courses. Yeah. So. And 2018 is that year.
Right. And that's that year for me as well, too, because I've come mm-hmm. to realize that, like with my Vibration of Change class, I don't necessarily want to have to travel to a particular city. And there's all these issues of, will there be enough people? Or really, is the interest, you know, 100 miles in the next city over? And then people don't want to have to get out of their jammies
right.
to come some to some
people,
of these workshops.
Right. And some people, especially with something creative or something where they might feel vulnerable.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people do like to take it at their own pace.
Yes, yes.
And create in their own space.
Right.
Very excited.
And this is great. Again, her website is BeverlyAshGilbert.com. Beverly, thank you so much for joining me here today.
Thank you, Christine. It's been really fun.
And thank you for joining us here today. Yes, it has been colorful. And I look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.